The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
You know he's right. I'm John Potter, live and local, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'll tell you what, folks, the show goes fast. I mean, it's already over an hour, and I just got started here. I just want to clarify what I was saying about, you know, Marco Rubio, this situation, the Constitution, the electors can't vote for or, you know, vote to elect a president and vice president from the same state in a presidential election. I love Marco Rubio. I do. But, if they don't move to another state, one or the other, I'm just saying, let's not screw with the Constitution and not take chances, because what we need is an undisputed, clear, uncontested win. I don't want the introduction of controversy and uncertainties, and we're not sure who really won, right? And I don't want to elect Rubio and Trump and then have the Democrats say, oh, no, that's unconstitutional, the whole thing. Let's take it to court. And we're sitting here going through another bunch of legal drama. I like to be dull now and then in that regard. Your suggestion for a great VP candidate, though, I think we ran through the list already, though. There were five of them. But who's your favorite for a VP candidate for Trump? Call us now, 884-9910. As always, I'd be happy and honored to take your call. Now, another piece of interesting local news. People are making calls demanding Washoe County commissioners rescind a donation to the Reno Toy Run. You know, the December event, I think it's December, where the motorcycle groups, they don't like it when you say motorcycle gangs, I think. Motorcycle groups collect donations and toys, and they take them to families that can't afford the toys. It's a wonderful, heart-rendering event. It really is. Washoe County Commissioner Mike Clark, though, used some of his discretionary funds to donate $10,000 to the Reno Toy Run, which is run by the Northern Nevada Confederate of Clubs, a group of motorcycle groups, I assume. But here's the controversy. But a member of that motorcycle gang, group. I didn't mean to say gang. It's habit. A member of this motorcycle group was spotted wearing a swastika on his vest. Well, we should immediately stop giving toys to poor kids at Christmas because somebody saw some guy with a swastika patch on his vest. Craig, what do you know about this?
Just basically what you know at this point in time. I'm still looking for information. I did find out that the Reno Toy Run 44th annual, let's see, is what's coming up, and yeah, they haven't updated their Facebook page at all either.
It's a long standing event.
Yeah.
I remember every year, you know, the local TV would cover it, and we thought, oh, this is so awesome. Look at them. Oh, those cuddly motorcycle guys. they're as timid as a, you know. I'm getting off track, but it's a great event. It's a wonderful event. I can't believe they're talking about taking away money. Well, now, this money, I have to say, why is taxpayer money going to a motorcycle group for what I thought was a volunteer effort?
Well, it's actually to buy the toys for the toy run.
I thought they went out and collected cash donations
but
toys from businesses.
They do that as well, but there's always a shortfall for, you know, what can be gathered by donations donate cash and then
I thought
they go
the
out
big
and buy them.
Corporates, Walmart, whatever, have been covering that. I didn't know taxpayer money was going for that. Okay. I'm not saying it's bad or anything. I'm just saying I didn't know that. They never say that on the TV news, which I used to be a part of.
And you would have made sure that they said that.
Well, I would have asked the question, where's the money coming from? Absolutely. I didn't know it was taxpayer money. Okay. I'm not saying it's bad. Okay. You probably heard the story. If you folks know more than me, which isn't too hard, it's not a stretch.
That's not a stretch at all, John.
I'm out of the loop now, Craig. I don't get the inside information on these things. I know as much as you folks do. I have no power anymore. 884-9910, and we can talk about that. Also, you probably heard that story this week about how Americans today store in Nevada, by the way, came out on top of this, how Americans today store their firearms. This is one of those surveys where Nevada came out on top. Here you go. I'm reading this news release from, I guess, from the CDC. New research provides insight into how Americans store their weapons at home. Of all the states surveyed, Alaska, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Nevada had the highest rates of households storing loaded guns. We're actually second right after Alaska on that, says the CDC. And according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, in Nevada, we don't have adequate laws requiring guns to be stored and locked up. They say Nevada does not require firearms at home to have a lock in place. California, of course, does. And Nevada has no law that requires unattended firearms to be stored in a certain way. But last year, Nevada enacted a law requiring firearms dealers to provide a firearm locking device with each gun purchase and to post a notice informing the buyer that inappropriate and unsafe storage of a firearm may result in imprisonment or a fine. Inappropriately and unsafely are words that are up to interpretation. Okay. According to the survey, it's not a study, by the way, it's a survey published by the CDC. 43% of the guns stored at home are stored loaded in Nevada, and that half of those loaded guns are not locked in containers. I don't have a problem with that, and here's why. There is a reasonable case to be made for why you would have a loaded gun in your house. Why would you have a gun in your house? Well, besides having it to hunt, or, you know, a big reason would be for home defense, which is not unreasonable. A lot of people do that. So you have a firearm in your home to defend your family. Would you have that firearm locked in a box, loaded or unloaded? I think that a person could answer that question both ways. You could say, well, it's okay if somebody gets in the house. I'll get in this room and I'll get this gun and I'll load it and I'll be ready to defend myself and my family. I think a more reasonable person might say, no, I'm going to have the gun here on my nightstand, and the bad guy comes in, it's going to be about 2 seconds away from being in my hand, and I'm going to be ready for action, right? You know, I spent part of my growing up time with a grandmother who had a loaded and chambered Winchester rifle behind her bedroom door at all times, and a firearm, which is unloaded, it's a club, folks. And if you're looking to defend your home, a reasonable person might think, I should have it loaded just in case. So I don't think that's irresponsible necessarily. It was always really important in my family, to my mom and dad, that we be taught gun safety from the start when we were very young. That's how you do it. And to be safe, get the permit and take it with. And I'm not trying to be some Neanderthal or something. The statistical likelihood is that we will all live our lives in joy and peace and never be bothered by crime. But there's always that chance, right? And I believe the chances are higher now, and I do believe you should always be ready for that chance. If you don't have a concealed pistol permit, I would urge you to get one. That and a gun with you gives you an option, and it's not going to get any easier or better. They're going to find more ways to limit you more in the future if you try to get one. best time to get a pistol or permit is the same answer of when to plant a tree a long time ago. This is just me talking. That's not the CDC talk. That's me. But the second best time is today. And again, I hope and pray that I go to my grave without anybody's blood on my hands. And thus far, I'm fairly well advanced in life that that has been the case. But the fact is that the conscience of the other guy is not going to protect you. And the fact is, in the overwhelming majority of cases, law enforcement is not going to be able to protect you. They'll get there in 12 minutes, you know. The reality is that we have almost reached a point where the only way to stop the deeds of the bad guys is the vigorous boldness of the good guys, right? So somebody tries to follow you home or tries to get in your home when you're in it or tries to physically harm you as you park in a parking lot or when you're walking one of our streets at night. We all do what we choose to do, but I think I'd want to put up a fight. And by the way, when it comes to sentencing this person for that crime, remember, mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. Of course, to the Democrats and their friends in the media, the only guns they talk about are those used in the so-called mass shootings. You know, a mass shooting has been redefined to represent three people, by the way. And if there is a mass shooting involving over three people, it's more common that these are gang shootings, but that's a description, a term that's been banned by the media. It's not PC, even though it may be true. Instead, they push for restricting guns from the law abiding. All those stories about how guns saved lives in cases of self-defense, you never see them on the news. They never put those up in the news. Instead of the law abiding father who has them to protect his family, it's the mass shooter that is portrayed. And Democrats and their media friends often use these straw man representatives. It's an old tactic, you know. In politics, they refer to the most extreme right nutcases and make them the representatives of the modern conservative movement, extreme right nutcases, you know, like the dumb people who have an issue with Beyonce making a country record or something dumb like that, or they don't like Taylor Swift because a decade ago she said, I don't know, talk about who she was going to vote for. All right, let's go to the phones, 884-9910. It's Joseph calling from Reno. Hey, Joseph, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hey, John. I have a question for you. Where did these statistics on how people store their guns and everything in Nevada, where did they come from?
The CDC did a... Okay, it's not a study, it's a survey, as I said. They surveyed gun owners. They really thought it was their responsibility to survey gun owners. And when you're surveying, that's not as accurate as doing a study. Of course, they're not going to come to your home and see if the gun is loaded or unloaded or in a box or not. They surveyed people.
They sent questionnaires out to everybody?
Oh, yeah. Well, not everybody. They have a certain control group of gun owners, and they know who the gun owners are, and they ask these questions. And the people willing to tell them, you see, the whole thing might be slanted for that reason.
That would be my guess. I would say very slanted. I haven't heard a word about, I mean, I own them, and I've never heard a word about anything like that.
Well, it was in the news. I saw it, I think it was on Tuesday, and I did a little research, and I found the press release from the CDC. Go online, and you'll see the whole thing about how Americans store their guns and what they found out in Nevada, the second state in the country when it comes to unsecured loaded guns.
Right. Well, the thing about news is, I mean, I wouldn't trust the news as far as I could throw the state of Nevada, so...
You're right.
You know,
you're right.
Exactly. Okay.
I know from experience, my friend.
Right,
I appreciate
I'll bet you
your
do.
Call.
You bet.
Don't get me started. All right, sir, thank you. All right, we got to take a break. I'm John Potter. 884-9910 is our phone number. Be honored and happy to hear from you. 884-9910. Back in a few. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1020.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991fmtalk.com.
Okay, it's 10:24, live and local. I'm John Potter. I'm going to have to get after these Walmart people. You know what I'm saying? Because I buy these reader glasses there, and I can't see the numbers on the screen. You know what? It's that dang Walmart. Last time I went to Walmart last Saturday, and I stopped in again Tuesday of this week, and I was shocked. Because one thing in my experience, when you go into Walmart, it's a fine experience until you check out. They never have any lanes open, and there's a long, snaky line going into the self-checkout. I hate self-checkout. I've said this many times. And you're thinking, why is it so hard to give these people my money? If I were running a store, I think that I do all I could to make it easy for them to give you my money, or give me your money. I think that a nice point of sale service would be a priority. Yes, please bring your card over here so that you can give my company lots of money. Right? But every Walmart, they've got all these lanes never open until last Saturday and Tuesday night. There were, I kid you not, there were like all in a row, 7 or 8 of the checkout lights on. People standing there like they're like people are like, hold it, really? Am I? Whoa, what's going on here? And so I had a good Walmart shopping experience, and I'm happy to share that with you. Now, I went to Lowe's on Wednesday, the big one on Kitsky. Different story. They're all checkout, self-checkout, I mean. They are all self-checkout at Lowe's, the one place where I have lots of questions, you know, when I'm checking out. They do hire people to watch you run the self-checkout, but you don't have their full attention. I mean, the whole thing seems a bit inefficient, but it doesn't really bother me. Actually, that helps me. Being the confused old guy I am, I often have these questions to ask a human, and I had 2 on Wednesday. How do I use my Lowe's gift card on the self-checkout? There was nothing there that said credit cards, debit cards here. No, nothing on. And since I didn't run into a worker on the floor, I wanted to know where the sand is sold. Is it in the drive-through lumber building, or is it in the store? Because I couldn't find it in the store. You can't ask the self-checkout machines that. You know, there are some places that have melded the machine and the human very well. They have service people who use the computers to be more efficient. Costco and Starbucks are great in that. We ate at Famous Dave's after Lowe's, and the app does all the work for you, even scans my receipt for my dining credits. It's so easy. Some places, if you use their app, it's more complicated, odd as that is. And coming, by the way, in the near future, we're talking about machines taking over here, AI shopping carts. Kroger, which owns Smith's, has already tested these AI shopping carts. They have this touch screen that takes your shopping list and directs you. And if you're a supermarket rewards member, it knows what you usually get. It has a scanner that tracks what you put in the cart, so you can just pay with the cart without getting in line. Actually, this is a high-tech thing I like, you know, if they manage to make it theft-proof. I'd like to see how they do that. But I know just another thing also that takes away those jobs for high school kids, which those first jobs for young people are very, very important. Lessons for life learned on those first jobs, right? Even me, delivering and checking the numbers of ortho garden chemicals at garden stores is my first job. Then I was a security guard. That always gets a laugh from people when I say that. Let's break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, 884-9910, our number to call. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, back in a few minutes. FM News Talk time, 1029.
The time to talk is now, live and local.
Yeah, this is Chad Hoogeyrath.
I listen to you sometimes, pretty honestly, when you're on the radio.
Santa. Seriously, I really like what you have to say. I mean, the way you formulated your thoughts in a sentence that goes with that thought, it correlates with reality.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Okay. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, in the studio in Carson City and performing tonight at the Carson City Nugget Comedy Room. Kabir Singh is in studio. Hey, Kabir, how's it going?
Oh, it is so nice to be back in Carson City. Big fan of this city. It is, it's always a pleasure, man. Doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
You're here around this area so much. I thought you kind of lived here. Where do you live?
Oh, you know, I actually live in Las Vegas. I host a bunch of the AGT shows over at the Luxor, so I have kind of a residency over here. But over Carson City, I try to come at least twice a year. It's always a blast. I love the Nugget. Dean's great, and it's just a lot of fun. Great people over here. We're really a blast over here. It's always my favorite stop.
Well, we know you. I mean, anybody who watches America's Got Talent, and I watch it despite Howie.
Not a fan of Howie, huh?
No, I'm.
How did that guy? How did that guy carve out a career that long? Is beyond me. No, I told him, don't worry. I told him that to his face, so you don't have to worry about that.
I was like, I don't know.
How are you still around, buddy? Killing it.
Rarely does he make me laugh. I don't know. It's just, we all have our likes and dislikes when it comes to comics. But
that
I'm looking
funny.
Up. Now, I've seen your face. It wasn't America's Got Talent. It was, you've done movies or TV?
What's your resume? I did a Comedy Central, the Dry Bar special that I have out there, which is the clean comedy network that they do. That one like fully viral, so you'll probably have seen clips of me online for that one. But Dry Bar is a really, really, really fun specials. It's basically shot in Provo, Utah, where they basically just do clean comedy for the whole family. So you know how fun that is. Provo clean comedy.
Are they using the old Donnie and Marie studio setup they built?
They essentially might as well be, yes.
That big?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So tell, are you born here in America?
So I was born in Portland, Oregon, and then basically moved to California, which was unfortunate. I don't know if anybody out there has been to California, lives in California. That place sucks. And then basically moved to Nevada about 4 years ago. So, I was born in Portland, Oregon. I was the only Indian in Portland in 1984, I'm assuming.
What do you say about Californians in your act? I'm sure they're in there.
I trash them to their faces, so it's all good.
Oh, come on. You got to be funny, because otherwise, if you just trash them, you're going to have a
reaction.
Yeah,
they'll cry about
They'll
cry about
They'll cry.
I love it. Tears of joy comes to my time, to me, too. I'm like, you do know we suck, right? They're like, yeah. They know. Well, they know. The majority of them.
Yeah, but I never heard that attitude from Californians. I mean, every single Californian that has moved here, we suck. Our drivers suck. They've never seen drivers so bad as they've seen in Reno. This sucks. That's like everything closes too early, and I can't eat my exotic Korean weird dish.
Yeah, well,
they don't have it in.
They think the drivers suck because they've never seen roads empty. It's all traffic over there. They're just all like, well, this guy's,
so it blows their mind.
It blows their mind that they can get somewhere within 3 minutes. That is hilarious, though.
What can you tell us about being there at America's Got Talent? I mean, I do watch the show. My wife loves it. But I wonder how much of this is, prefab. Is it an honest competition? And maybe some funny sidelight stories from behind the scenes. Although, you want to come back there, so you can't really tell.
Well, I lost, so I assure you it's rigged.
Well, you were like close to runner up or something.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good run. You know, the cool thing about America's Got Talent, it is really like just, it's a lot of work. It was a year right after the pandemic, so we had to get like COVID tests like every 8 hours and stuff like that, which was a complete headache. And we had to quarantine basically in the hotel for the whole 3 months, 2 months or so. So that was a complete headache. Other than that, though, it's pretty legit. Everybody gets to do their own thing. There's not a lot of people in your ear. The live shows are great. The first one is tough, though, the audition, because I'm assuming there's like 6,000 or 7,000 people that auditioned for that, and they cut it right down to 32. So that's the first big cut, and then once you make that, then you get on the live shows, and you know, all the judges are super nice, they're super helpful, good producers, but yeah, they definitely like to lean on the backstories of the artists. So like, if you have a really good backstory versus somebody that could be more talented than you but probably doesn't have like a compelling backstory, there's a lot of times that they'll push those guys over the other ones. So that
okay, because my big suspicion of here's my big suspicion. How do they end up with these 40 people to start with? Because some of these people, I know so many people who are more talented than that. So I figure in the beginning it must be somebody knows the producer or somebody is high up in the network. You know, how do they get to be even a contender on that show?
It's definitely a crapshoot. I mean, there's, again, you know, that 6,000.
How did you?
Oh, I just did my audition. I won a comedy competition in Billings. It was called the Big Sky Comedy Festival. It was all the best comedians. They all come over there and compete for like $5,000 or something like that. I won that, and one of the talent scouts for America's Got Talent was there. She was one of the judges, so she got me on the show the next season. So basically, she just gave me a time to be there, and I went on stage just and did my audition set. It was 2.5 minutes. So that was recorded, did really well, got a standing O, and then they got into the top 32.
When you're doing a comedy routine in Billings, Montana,
oh yeah,
do you change your routine? Is it more cowboy humor? What?
I avoid the Trump jokes, and bring out the good old racism, and they love it. I was kidding.
Oh, stop that.
Just make fun of Indians. They love it. No, Billings, Montana is actually quite progressive. They have a really, honestly, like all jokes aside, they have a phenomenal comedy scene over there. They've actually had two or three really good comedians come out of there that go back there every year and put on some amazing show. So, yeah, Billings is a blast. It's a fun place.
Yeah, you know what they complain about in Billings?
What?
California.
Oh, yeah, they hate us. Nobody likes California. I've never been anywhere. I'd be like, oh, you're from California? Congratulations. You know?
I have many California friends. The attitude that I pick up on like Reddit or social media, things like that, where they're just here. They're here and they're bashing us nonstop.
Yeah, that's
because
like,
and they'll take a picture of something goofus out there on the street doing something corny or funny or, geez, what did I see? Some guy, he's trying to move a trailer on his pickup truck and it's on a road. And they always say things like, this is so Reno.
Oh, yeah.
Reno. Stay classy, Reno.
They're the
worst.
What
is that attitude they have when they come here? And they're not even proud of where they live when they come here. That drives me crazy.
They're stuck up and they just want to trash other places to make them feel better about their garbage city. You know what? To be honest with you, I just got back from the UK. I just did a tour over there in Barcelona and Italy and went to Spain. They basically hate us as a whole, just America in general. So,
well, that's very disappointing.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, your place sucks too. Yeah, I got food poisoning in Italy. Come on.
I was born in New York State, and I came here. I fell in love with Reno at first sight in 1976. I made it my life's mission to find any way to spend the rest of my life here. I loved it. I just loved it.
It's
it
beautiful.
Just went right to my heart.
And everybody's so nice. The best thing, the people over here are the best. I mean, everybody's just so nice, polite, and helpful. I mean, like, why would you want to live?
Well, most of them are Californians, but
douchebags.
So okay, stop that. You're gonna have people ringing around the building.
Yeah, I'm gonna be selling zero tickets in California for the next couple months. Now that I think about it.
So you live in Vegas. I imagine you perform a lot in Vegas. I heard it said for many comedians that the Las Vegas crowd, and I don't know if this extends to the Reno Carson City crowd, they say that crowd in Las Vegas is the toughest audience in the whole world. What do you say about that?
No, you know what? I think they're not. Basically, when you perform in Vegas, you're not performing for anybody local. So when you like do the Jimmy Kimmel Club or Comedy Cellar, they're all people from out of town. So I guess the only reason why it could be difficult is because you're performing in front of people from all over the world, you know, and sometimes it'll be like a language. I do a couple cruises a year. Those are the tough ones because now we're talking about language barriers and people from other countries. So I find Las Vegas actually pretty easy. They're just, you know, the tickets are very expensive and they expect a good show. So you have to be on top of your game when you do these shows in Vegas, because they're all about $45 no matter who you are.
I guess it's because they're such they see so many spectaculars in Vegas that they're kind of jaded after all the big shows there to see a comedian. I think actually hear the opposite about Carson City and Reno crowds, that were the best, man.
Oh, you guys are the best, dude. You guys are
right?
always
Is that
blast.
Why you're always performing in Carson City at the
Oh,
Nugget?
Yeah, 100%. And in Reno, Carson City is always a blast. And Lake Tahoe, too. People are just excited to be there, and they're ready to have a good time. But, yeah, Vegas is just a very eclectic group of people, so it's just going to be a bunch of random people from all over the place. But yeah, no, they're pretty cool. I mean, you get the locals over there and stuff like that. The crowd, they're there to enjoy themselves. You'll get the crowd that drinks too much though a lot in Vegas too. When you start
you're
doing
kidding?
Yeah, I know. You'd be really shocked about how that midnight show is at Jimmy Kimmel on a Saturday. That's always fun.
Have you done any of the talk shows, Kimmel? Or
I've done. I have not done any late night shows. No, not at all.
They're not funny anymore.
They're terrible.
They're not.
They don't even book comedians that much anymore.
They're political screeds.
Oh yeah, no.
It's unbelievable how different it is with late night TV. They're
I don't think I've
funny.
Watched an episode of this for years. Yeah,
they actually are angry.
Yeah.
People. Now, let me ask you this. When you perform, you said when you perform in Billings, Montana, you don't do the Trump jokes. At the risk of, and I hope the boss has a sense of humor, what's a good Trump joke?
Nothing I could say on air. But actually, I'm a big fan, though. Actually, you know, I voted for Trump. I mean, it's hilarious. People in California love when I talk about that stuff. But
well, how about a Biden joke?
I can't make fun of the he's out to lunch.
The infirm.
Okay. I mean, that's like making fun of like somebody's great grandpa that can't walk down a flight of stairs.
You sound like a very likable guy.
Oh yeah, try to make fun of I don't take anything serious. All my shows are just a party, man. It's like a house party. I talk to the crowd and we engage and we just have a blast. It's always
very
fun
cool.
over here though.
And opening up the show is the great Howie Knave, and I'm a huge Howie Knave fan.
Oh, he's such a nice guy. I've known him for years.
He owns Tahoe, of course, and I'm so glad he's coming to Carson City.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, folks, check it out. We have, is it 10?
No,
10
so we,
pair?
We got some tickets to give away?
We have 10 pairs of tickets
to
give away.
Oh, guys, call up and get these tickets.
Show, yep.
Which one, the 8 o'clock show?
8 o'clock show.
That's the good one, guys. Call in, come to the show, Carson Nugget, 6 and 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Well, it's a text
tonight.
Oh, tonight, sorry.
Well, he's on. Okay,
I'm jet lagged. I just flew in from Spain.
Yeah, he literally flew in from Spain yesterday into San Francisco, then spent 4 hours driving up here, then did the dinner last night at the Nugget,
which is always great.
Then hasn't slept, and now after he's done here this morning, he's gonna go take a nap before the 6 o'clock.
I'll be ready. I'm gonna get my 5 hours in before the show tonight. It's gonna be a blast.
What a pro! Oh my gosh!
It happens.
Kabir Singh performing with Howie Knave, 8 o'clock tonight. If you want to go, text 775-884-9910. And 10 pair of tickets right now. Each person texting gets a pair. And
awesome.
What do they need, Craig? They need to give you their name and their phone number.
Their phone number and their email. Correct. Name, phone number, and email. And I get their phone number from the text system, but... Yeah, their name and their email.
And bring your ID.
Bring your ID.
It's amazing how many people I saw at the Nugget walking around with expired licenses. It's like, what do you mean I can't get a drink? I'm like, dude, you're 52. Get that taken care of.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So okay. we've already got our first texter, so we're down to 9. So.
All right. You're going to be busy, Craig, taking those winners.
Oh, yeah, come through. It's going to be a great show. Every show over there is amazing, and we're going to be bringing the heat. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just a lot of crowd interaction, and it's going to be a party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Kabir, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Hope to see you guys again soon. Can't wait, and very excited to be back in Carson City.
Have a nice nap.
You too. Right. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, you too. Because of my age? Is that why you said that?
Yeah.
Because of my age? I take offense to that now.
I know. Yeah. Right. Every time John, I come to Carson City, the dinner's at 5 o'clock. So yeah. It's like,
really? And bedtime's at 7.
And I was like, dinner's at 5:30.
Right,
I'm like, okay,
it.
That's crazy. That's fine.
Stop it. All right. Thanks. Kabir Singh.
You're the man, dude.
And you can buy tickets at the Carson City Nugget website, too. All
that's right. 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Can't wait to see you guys, man. Call, text, and then I'll see you tonight. It's going to be fun.
Superman. Thank you. I'm going to take a break here. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1049.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
John Potter, live and local. Yeah, 884-9910, number to call. When Kabir Singh was talking about America's Got Talent, where he was like this finalist, and I said, was that really a great time? And he said, it was, except for that time during COVID and what we could not do. And that really, doesn't it take you back to all the ridiculous restrictions that with jobs? And I remember being at Channel 2, and they freaked out when I did a story. I was talking by myself in a field, and I wasn't wearing my mask, and they just absolutely freaked out. And they had these rules every time we went out to do a story: take your mask, take your mask. And we had to wear them in the vehicle. Like, I'm driving to Markleyville for a story, had to wear it in the vehicle by myself. And I think they had cameras. If I don't know. I put it out of my misery in my mind. Okay, are you ready for another new crisis? Is this true? Person emailing me saying the hospitals, Bay Area, are almost full with nursing home patients. And I did a little research, and I see this in other states. You can Google it. I saw some news articles about this. Boomers are aging, and in California, some of the sickest patients are stranded in hospital rooms for weeks, months, and even years as they wait to be moved into nursing homes and psychiatric facilities. But there's a nationwide nursing home staff shortage. That, coupled with a rapidly aging population, has created a full house at some hospitals. Tell me this isn't true in the Reno area. For those of us in that rapidly aging population group, I'll tell you, that is a worry. That is. And I don't say this to be a jerk or make anybody feel bad, but you know, we always haven't had so many nursing homes. We used to have families, right? I mean, the fact that grandma needs to be cared for, or grandpa's often confused, doesn't necessarily require institutional care. It requires care and somebody looking out for them. But that doesn't have to be a nursing home. That can be a regular old home. It used to be that when our grandparents got older and more feeble, could no longer live on their own, they went to live with family. I'm serious. That was a thing. And in a lot of other countries where the nursing home business has not taken over, like in Italy or Mexico, the grandparents are more often taken in by family. And I know every family's different, different circumstance, this and that and the other. And some elderly people have different levels of infirmity that require professional medical care on an ongoing basis. I recognize that. But we don't always have to put our old people in nursing homes. We don't have to institutionalize them. It's no fun for them, you know. And we ought to be more often think about the family connections, our family, our responsibilities. And it goes without saying, if you have to care for your mom in the last few years of her life, that seems about even, doesn't it? Given that she had to care for you the first few years of your life, and having mom and dad and grandma and grandpa or Aunt Lulu at the house is going to be inconvenient for you, but it's inconvenience of greater significance than family love and obligation. Think for just a second, and if you're listening in a nursing home right now, turn the radio off for a moment, but have you folks been in a nursing home lately? It's a downer. No offense to the people who do their best with what they have, and now staff shortages. But really, do you think anybody wants to live in a nursing home? They lived in their own place all their life. They raised their kids. They decorated the way they wanted. They cooked the way they wanted. They lived the life that they wanted. And now they have to go live in half a room, in a place that's alien to them, where they don't control their life, where they don't control their space, where all the stability and comfort and independence of their lives are stripped from them. You want to send your mom there? You think that's a good thing? Yeah, really? Oh, mom, Now people, oh, mom loves it. Oh, look, there's an activity room with books. Listen, mother, you'll love this. Will she? Will the last months or years be, and again, I know a lot more people are working now, and I know that y'all are busy, and she gets underfoot, and they're bothersome, and the kids, and I just don't know. We got a little dog, and mom, we don't really have the room here at the house. I think more often we should try to keep mom and dad home, and I'm not saying if you don't, you're wrong, but I hope that we can re-engage a little bit, you know, bring our old people into our families, because while that used to be a near universal custom, it's now almost universally not done. It's all corporate nursing homes now, and life really has not gotten busier, and old people really have not gotten to be more of a handful, except for me. We've just become increasingly comfortable with writing them off.